We're in the middle of how the Midas HaBitochon prevents, page 83, prevents a person from doing averus. And one of the averus that he seemed to emphasize very much was Hanifa. We have no need, a person has Bitochon, has no need to flatter evil people because he thinks maybe he'll get something from them, maybe he's afraid of them. Maybe he'll derive some benefit or protect himself from some loss because he's boteach b'Hashem and he has nothing to be afraid of. Then it goes on further. The end of the third line on 83. The Omar Rabbi Elozer ben Rabbi Elozer called Eido sheyesh bo chanufa meuso kenido shenemar ki adas chonif galmud. Says a community, an Eido congregation that has chanufa in it is meuso. Is mo'us like a nido. Shenemar ki adas chonev, the edo, that's chonev, is galmud. Galmud is a word that it seems is used of the person who's not in contact. But the nido he is used in the context, I think, of where contact is forbidden.
Excommunicated.
What?
Excommunicated.
Yeah, like it's not excommunicated. Well, that's really what it means. But like there's no contact. And I would add to it maybe, but maybe it's only homiletically, I don't know. That in the Nida, the distance is to prevent the love that exists, the natural draw that exists to come to do something that's inappropriate. And maybe that's the same thing over here. In other words, even though this person is a Hanufim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu distances himself from them, but it's a distance which is, the love, it's the Chazal Se Yisrael, Avogri Shechoto Yisrael. That a Jew, even though he sins, he still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still loves him. It's a terrible thing, and therefore we have to distance ourselves from him. Over the Maisa, he's still Yisrael. So that may be, but that's really not.
What's the Hebrew word of Galmud? What is that?
So
word?
I don't know. I don't know.
It says it's similar.
Yeah, it's something. No, but it's something like a separation that there's no contact. Okay. Next, for Omer Rabbi Elozer called Eido Sheyesh Bo Chanufa. A community that has Hanufa, the Seif Goyla. And Hanufa is a terrible thing. We mentioned, just to review it again, we mentioned on two grounds. One is that we're falsifying the truth. When you falsify the truth, the Torah is all about truth. And if you say, oh, you're such a tzaddik, when you're such a Rosha, then you're really falsifying Hashem's divine values, which is something that we don't do. And secondly, it's a very big breach in the Midas HaBitochon because you're confident this person. Why? Well, you think he's the Baal Gover that's going to help you. And now we can talk. He can't do anything for you. It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If all of this Hanifa is really an insult to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's undermining the basic concept of Bitochon, then Hashem is, I forgot to turn it on. That Hashem is the one, and Hashem does everything, and we have no plan. So that's a terrible thing, and therefore he says, as such a community will be going. One who speaks nivul peh, that he reaches the depths of Gehenna. Nivul peh is a terrible thing, because the concept is because the mouth is really the seat of holiness. We speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with our mouth. We study Torah with our mouth. And Mimela, to defile that mouth with inappropriate things, with words that are nivola, with words that describe things that are inappropriate, is a terrible, thank you, it's a terrible, terrible thing. So, is my Mikelo Gehenna, what?
Are you talking about somebody who's not a good person that you're relying on? Or
So I think what it means, let's see, explain. I was confused about this. So wait a second. Rav Nachma Yitzchak Omar, I feel Shemaya Vishosik. Yeah, Shenemar, even if he listens to someone who's Menavo Piv and he keeps quiet, so he says, Zoim Hashem, Hashem is like, dislikes, Yipol Shem will fall there. I think what it means is as follows. Not the point Menavo Piv, but the Menavo Piv and we keep quiet, that's a form of Hanifa. In other words, a guy who's speaking inappropriate, shut him up, tell, hey, you don't speak that way around here. You don't defile the Kedusha of your mouth to speak like that. And by keeping quiet, it's a form of Hanifa. You know, I'm not gonna correct him about his speech. Maybe I'll need him for something. Maybe he's gonna hurt me. Maybe this. So I think that fits into the Chanifa. This is all a discussion of Chanifa. Otherwise, I have your problem. I don't understand what it's talking about. So it must be because you're going to keep quiet. Okay, let's continue. Okay, Avo Habitech Be'emes Yinosa Mikol Zeh Acharei She'en Olav Moiro Shel Bosov Adom. It says, a person who truly has bitochen will be saved from all types of Chanifa, from all types of concern about what somebody else is going to say or what somebody else is going to do. Now, because of the fact that he has nothing to be afraid of. This is such a powerful thing. We don't realize how much fear we have for people. Rabbeinu HaKodesh, on his deathbed, he blessed his Talmidim. He said, Alevai, that your fear of Hashem should be like fear of Moshe. Like you fear people. So they said to him, well, that's all? He said, Halavai, we are very, very responsive, concerned, afraid of what people have to say. Well, that's the nature of the human beast. And Mimela, a person who has bitochon, he does not, whatever you want, do what you want, you know. It's nothing you can do to me because it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's a tremendous sense of security in a world that's so insecure and that has such a level of insecurity and such challenges and such fears and such and anxiety too. You know, this a person has bitochon. So I'm not afraid. I'm nervous. I'm afraid. Nothing to be afraid of. So that's
why is this lady spending so much time on
the Chanifa part? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I was thinking about that myself. It's if then he goes on to some other things, but
Chanifa is the ultimate being kola, your confidence in people. That's mamish, the antithesis of bitochon.
Or what do you mean? Relying on someone else, antithesis of bitochon. This is a way to not rely on Hashem, but it's relying on someone else.
I'll tell you why it's worse.
I mean, the cause of why you're wrong. Reliance on someone. I need this guy. I need this guy to walk the guy.
You know what?
I would say something else. Chanifa be'etzem, as we said, is a very ugly thing because you're really falsifying the Torah. Okay, so what are you doing because you don't have bitochon? Not only are you expressing this lack of bitochon by worried about a person who might be able to help you, but because of that vaitach shash that he might be able to help you, you're also falsifying the Torah. You're speaking sheker. You're saying a rosha is a tzad. You're saying rishis is really tzitzis. So it's like a double
avla. You can say the same thing about the zela itself. If you steal, that shows you're not relying on Hashem. Same thing the Chavetz Chaim says, don't steal because you're going to get the money anyway.
Yeah, so very good. So then we'll have to take it one step further. I don't know if I mentioned this last time, but the Yamsha Shlema in Baba Kama says like this: says the halach is when we will be in control, or when we are in control, that's the Sora, the Beirut Takifah, then a shore of a goy that attacks the shore of a Jew, the goy has to pay. The shore of a Jew that attacks the shore of a goy, we do not have to pay. Okay? It's something in the club you pay for your animal's damage. It's not something that, if you do a damage to a goy, of course you have to pay it. But your animal did it. It's a chiddush. It's really like a groma. The Torah was mechayev amongst those in the club. Even if your animal does damage, you should pay your fellow Jew. But to a goy, you wouldn't have to pay. So the Yamsha Shlomo says, if a goy asks you the halacha, and this guy is ready to, you tell him such a halacha, he'll shoot you in the head. You have to give your life rather than to falsify the halacha. Because this, he says, this is your horiz bal yahava, because you're falsifying the Torah. It's just like avodah zarah. It's just like denying the Torah. It's like fear. It's something that you have to, that's what he, I don't know if everyone agrees with that, but that's what he says. So I would say that this is even worse than Geza. Because here, you're falsifying the Torah, all for the chashash that maybe this guy's going to help you, which in reality is a breach of the Midas HaBitochon. So you're breaching your bitochon with such a remote chash, maybe he's going to help you, or maybe he'll do something to you. And in the process, you're also destroying other mind. The
Torah is he's a Rasha, right? What? If he's not a Rasha.
It's not Hanifa.
To but tell, that also is against
Bitochon. But it's not Hanifa.
Right? Yeah, but it's not Hanifa. That's
if,
my, that's,
if I'm a tzaddik, and I really say you're a tzaddik,
I'd like to tell the story that I tell all the time. I say it with such simcha. Okay, a woman a few years ago went to the uncle Schiff. That's the Bristol Rob's youngest son-in-law in Yerushalayim. She happened to have known him because they both grew up in 377 Montgomery Street in Crown Heights. He's an American boy. And the families went way back. Anyway, so she went for a brocha for her family. She was an older woman, or I'm older. She has married children, grandchildren. She went for a brocha. So first he didn't want brocha. It wasn't like, didn't hold himself to be such a mevorech. But finally she insisted. So he said, on one condition, if the brocha comes true, you're going to thank Hashem and not me. See, he didn't let the person make that mistake. You go for a brocha, it's a brocha, it's a tefillah of a tzaddik, but you have to rely on a Kodesh Baruch.
That's why you can go rely on a tefillah tzaddik, because the tzaddik knows that he's not going to take credit for it.
That's right. That's also true. That's good. But this is also a story I heard from a Rav in Los Angeles once, also in the same vein. I must have mentioned this here too, I'm sure. These are my favorite stories, so I can probably mention them all the time. So, this woman couldn't have children, for many years. She goes to the Rav and her shtetl, and brocha, gosh. Finally, she already can't wait any longer. She says, comes to the Rav, she says, excuse me, I sold my possessions, she didn't have any money, and I just have enough for a round ticket to Warsaw. I'm going to get a brocha from the Rebbe, because all the Rebbes were in Warsaw. So she goes there. And she sees that she needs money for a kvittel and a pidyon and a chreis was, and she didn't have any money. She goes home. Okay, she didn't see the Rebbe. 9 months later, she has a boy. And she tells the Rebbe about the bris. So she says to him, but very interesting, I never got to see the Rebbe. So he says, Irzet, eib de Rebbeinu shalaylam vilvus bavaisen, if Hashem wants to do it, he can do it without the Rebbe. So that's what we have to keep in mind. Our focus has to be whether it's Hanifa or whether it's just Stam Abrocha. It's all the Rebbeinu Shalom. These are just agents. And with an agent, you have to be very careful. Like the Miri says, that the Tzaddik or the Chosid or the Chochem will say, don't rely on me. The Rebbe that I help. Hashem will help you. And that's really the way.
I think the problem is that it's the people who are looking at the story. Oh, you went to the Rebbe and 9 months later you had a baby. Wow, I got to go to this Rebbe too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, this is the story all the lit bugs say, no?
Yeah. Okay. Okay, look, whatever it is, you have to be careful. Okay. But when that person gets to the Rebbe hopefully will instruct that person, it's not me. Okay, let's continue. And he says, so such avogdech behemes he knows him calls it because he has no more boss, no chamamra. Because of gavi nosati lemakim ulochoyai lemorti, my body I put for those who beat, and my cheeks for those that rip them. Yazuli Hashem will help me. Something poneka chalomish, I put my face like a flintstone. The Eda Kilo Ebush, and I know that I won't be embarrassed because I rely on Hashem. You can hit me, you could do what you want. I'll let you, you can be free. Doesn't matter. Nothing bothers me because I know it's all Hashem. Okay. Yeah, if not, except when it's Bori Hezeko. When it's Bori Hezeko, when it's sure that there's gonna be a danger, a real Mokum Sakona, the Eno Lohoichiach. Nafshe Gemara says over there about a person who didn't lochich nafshe koyitzalto. you saved your life. So the Indian of giving teichocha to a person who does something wrong is only when it's a person that's not going to reciprocate by shooting you, by putting your life in danger. But when it's bori hezeka, or I don't know, maybe not just a life, maybe any hezek, maybe this person can really hurt you. If it's bori hezeka, then you're not mechuyev to say anything, and you could just be quiet about it.
Why is this different?
What?
Compared to the Yom Shoshim one?
Oh, no, bori hezeka, no, it's not that you're saying. Just keeping quiet.
You're not flattering.
I assume that's what it means. That kam kemeishne spirele el dehecha dvori hezeiko yuchal liyos shelo yinotzel mishum habechiro. If when it's bori hezeiko, it could be that he won't be saved because of the bechiro. This is a very cryptic sentence. Because if it's bori hezeiko, if this you're in a mokum sakona. This person is a person who's very likely going to hurt you. Then, because of that, you should not, you're not mechuyev to say anything, or maybe not even allowed. The ein loy loichiyach, because he says, because when it's bori hezeko, it could be that you won't be saved because of bechiro. Now, what does that mean? It could mean maybe one of two things. It could mean that maybe since he's the Baal Bechira. So what does that mean? So maybe it could mean that if Baal Bechira, and he has the ability to choose to do bad. Now, if he chooses to do bad, then there's Alpiteva, he can do something. He could, you know, lift it. But of course, Hashem has to controls it. So I think he says something here. I look quickly that maybe we won't be zeicher to so many nisim, and you can't be so machalanes. I would prefer to say another pshat, but if this pshat is a chiddush, that I have to say pshat in an Or HaChaim first before I can say this chiddush. But I would rather suggest it as follows. There's a famous Or HaChaim where it says that by Yosef, that they put him in the bor that he should rather be subject to the Nechoshim Ba'akrabim rather than to the brothers who are the Bali Bechira. And the Rechaim explains that the Nechoshim Ba'akrabim have no koyach to hurt him. That's what's Nigzar and Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, that's what they'll do. But the Bali Bechira have a certain koyach, and therefore he's in more danger at the hands of the brothers who have Bechira than he is at the hands of the...
And then it's not a Rechaim, because Hashem Shah, end of the day, it's not going to happen. They can't do anything.
Yeah, okay,
so what's the
so some people say he had a different shita. I can't be so even that as a shita, you know, for some reason.
Doesn't just, make sense.
So I think
that what?
I think the pshat is like this. What's the pshat? You go on a mokum sakona, the sot mis makatri. What does that mean? Sot makatri mokum sakona. Rashi, yes, it's when Yaakov said about sending Binyam, he said, Penyak Reno also. So Rashi says, only on the derech. What about in the house that he's supposed to go? He'll go anyway. But Snigzar Yom Kippur. So he says, Asotin Bekatrig B'mokum Sakona. So the way I understand that is that there are certain times when the Sotin is Mekatrig. That means, until now, there was Nigzar on Yom Kippur, or sealed on Yom Kippur, or Shana Yom Kippur. Everything's going to be good. Fine. Now I go on B'mokum Sakona. And the Sultan has the ability to say, this guy thinks he's such a tzaddik that he can walk in a mokum sakona, he's not afraid. Let's call for an interim din Torah. Let's judge him from Yom Kippur till Purim. Okay, he's going into a mokum sakona. Let's see how he fared. He was nigzar on Yom Kippur, nechtam on Yom Kippur. Now let's see until Purim how he was doing. So therefore, if he went to a mokum sakona and the Sultan is mekatri, now a person could potentially be in more danger. That's his lotion of
Shema.
I'll tell you why. Because like this, because I'm talking about Makom Sakona. I didn't get the error. It's a whole thing. So I'm talking about Makom Sakona. So I say it like this. Since the Sultan is the Patrick, what happens? Sultan says, I'm calling for a new judgment, an interim judgment from Yom Kippur till Purim. If that's the case,
the only time he's allowed to do that is if you're in Makom
Sakona. Oh, wait. I believe there are four places he's allowed to do that. It's a whole speech. What can I do? So it looks like we're not finishing this parak, but anyway, it's like this. In a mokum sakona, so the chas, you are in a mokum sakona, so it's a mokum. Now, if from Yom Kippur till Purim you're innocent, you don't deserve to have any damage, then the Sultan's kitchen doesn't do anything. There's a judge, and Hashem judges. And don't think for a moment the Sultan could do anything more than be Makatrik. Makatrik means to accuse, and then the judge will decide the din Torah, you know, mi yichya mi yomus, mi zeh, mi yoni, mi yoshe. Now, but if, however, the person was guilty from Yom Kippur till Purim, even though if the Sultan wouldn't have been Makatrik, he would have gone scot-free until next Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and be judged again, which is a better time to be judged. It's a time of tshuva. It's a time of rachamim. It's a time of dirsha Hashem bihim motzoi, of korav Hashem, and all these things. Aval ha'maaseh, it's not against what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. It's just an interim judgment, which otherwise he might have been able to avoid. Okay, I want to suggest that the same thing applies to Ayin Hara. And I believe it's the same thing. And Ayin Hara has the ability to evoke an interim judgment. And then we see. The same thing applies to Iyun Tefillah. The Gemara says in Brochus, I think it's the Gemara in Brochus, the Gemara says that there are three things that are maskir and avin yosef shalom. One of them is Iyun Tefillah, Kaisa Ruah, Iyun Tefillah, and the third one I forgot. And that means like this, a person daven very well. And he says, I know Hashem's going to answer me because I davened so well. I did such a good job. Hashem's going to answer me.
That he deserves it?
Yeah, I deserve it. So the Sultan's Makatrik says, oh, Azigor, you really think you deserve it? Let's have an interim din Torah and let's see. That's one thing. Ayin Hara is, and this is, now, the Chiddush is that I think the Or HaChaim holds that a Baal Bechira also creates such a matzav. A Baal Bechira has a right to choose. The right to choose creates a mokum sakona. I now have the right to shoot. I don't have the right to kill, but I have the right to shoot because that's part of my bechira. Therefore, I create a mokum sakona, and now with the mokum sakona, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could judge. So, and therefore, you created a danger. You don't want to put yourself at the mercy of a baal bechira because that could evoke a new interim din Torah.
So why is there more sakona than a chashu makrova?
What's that? Because Achosh Makrovim already they don't have a book. They have a mission. A Baal Bechira creates a sakona. I chose to hurt you. The Achosh Makrovim only choose to do the mission that they were commissioned for in the first place. They are responsive to what happened on Yom Kippur. The Achosh Makrovim are only responsive to Yom Kippur. But the Baal Bechira, you want to do something. So now the sakona can be makatrik. I think that's what he means. When he says, "Atam commission is far leel, the heicho the bori hazeko yuchal lios shelo yinasa b'shul abechira." Because of bechira, he will not be saved. Because of the fact that since he's up against bali bechira, there may be an interim din Torah, and therefore, and he may lose out. Therefore, you don't have to start up with these guys because Bali Bechira could hurt you.
Why is the coastal rule a problem?
Why is the coastal
rule should be like Nechashim HaKrovim? So why is that an issue? That should be just like Nechashim HaKrovim that was there from, that they can't do anything. What is the difference?
No, the coastal rule is a Mokum Sakona.
So is Nechashim HaKrovim.
So no, Nechashim HaKrovim is the Pshat.
Coastal rule doesn't have Bechira.
No, so I have to say, they, a coastal rule, that is something that's going to happen. Al Bidar Hateva, the Nechosh Makrovim are programmed. They have a mission. If they were programmed to get them, to get Yosef.
Hey, Rabbi, Nechosh Makrovim is sakona. You can't argue that's not a sakona.
No, but it's a different kind of
sakona.
It's a different kind of sakona.
It was also programmed. It's supposed to fall. It's going to fall. The shot on a mind of its own. There's no more Bechira in a wall than in a scorpion.
No, but scorpion has a mission.
So does a wall.
The wall doesn't have a mission. The wall is a sacrifice.
It's going to fall on his head. And this time before, what's the problem? What was it?
The Shvatim also had a program, and they were also had a target. It was to throw Yosef in the bar. So,
no,
but that was the plan. And that was what led him to Mitzrayim.
So what?
So I'm saying we could compare them to the Chashim as well. They couldn't harm Yosef anymore.
I think since they wanted to hurt him, they wanted to kill him. They passed him, he was Chayim Nisa. Look, we're not talking about not talking about hooligans. We're not talking about, as I once heard one rabbi say, juvenile delinquents. We're talking about tzaddikei elyoi in the paskin of the Torah, that he had a din of a roide, and they had to
still get
them
to
the one.
Once there's no
bechira,
I don't get dipped in a wall and a scorpion. Why is a scorpion more programmed than a wall? If it's tafkid of that wall to fall on someone and kill him, that's the tafkid. That's the mission of the wall. That's the bechira.
A wall is the a kosher is a sakana.
So it's scorpion.
No, they are programmed to do something.
But that mitzvah is Daniel Begov Harayas. What do you mean? That was a sakana.
So what's any mokum
sakana? What? That's what I'm asking. What? So what's the difference?
Oh, so they, it's not mokum sakana.
Yeah, no, but because you're comparing.
So what's the
problem? But to the
Rashi says by mokum sakana. Oh, but by slow you can also an Ella Hakotan suddenly countries.
What I'm saying, but according to the shot that he Bedafka wanted the scorpion over Bechira, then what's shot by a Kosher Rabbon?
I think you're right. Because the scorpion is still less. It's less. It's still less. In other words, you go under a Kosher Rabbon. So you say, I'm walking in a Mokum Sakon. But here I have a choice.
I'd rather go on the Kosher Rabbon than go into a cage of scorpions.
Yeah, no, maybe.
Scared I would say,
no, those no. Those may be the same thing. But here, the Baal Bechira is worse. The Baal Bechira has the ability to evoke a new Din Torah. Here, so you're going in, this is the lesser of the evils. This is Nigzer.
Well, why did he go to the scorpions? Because there's Nigzer, I'm not worried. Then if it's Nigzer, you're not worried. Why didn't you go under a wall? It's like going under a scorpion. If it's Nigzer, it's Nigzer. But the word of Bechira, I thought you were saying, is that could change the Gzera because they're evoking a new Gzardin, a new court case.
Also, if you say program Sara, then everything's programmed. There's no markups like on here. Then, if this is programmed, it's going
to
hurt you anyway.
I wasn't afraid to go into scorpions because whatever was Nigzer was Nigzer. So what are you worried about the wall? If it was Nigzer, be the four. Only the four. If not, not. But Bechira, fine. I hear it. But then scorpions and wall should be the same.
He didn't go into the scorpions. They threw him in.
Whatever.
They threw him. No.
They
threw him in.
Okay.
They don't have the ability to make a new dinter.
No, fine. But you said there's
no.
I'm not conscious about the scorpions versus the
no, because then
was he
conscious to be in the wait a second. The issue is what makes a new Din Torah. A Mokum Sakona makes a new Din Torah. You walked into a Mokum Sakona, the son says, "You think you're such a tzaddik? Come on.
Okay.
How do you walk under a Kaiser Ra'uah? What are you crazy? It'll fall down on your head." So that's it. That evokes a new Din Torah. Well, now, if throwing him into the pit. So the child is like this.
What was he kind of, what he rather? Who said he rather? What you said something before?
Yeah, right. Because rather than let the brother, he threw him into the pit so that he should be subject to the scorpions rather than the brothers. Reuven threw him into
the pit. I get that. What was your question? You brought him to Aruch HaKodesh. I thought you asked the question.
What
did he rather do with the scorpions? Wasn't that your question?
How
did you start this thing? Didn't you start asking? What was your question?
Why
did
the Baal Bechira?
The Baal Bechira
also has no
koyach. I thought you asked about why he'd rather the scorpions.
No, I asked that a Baal Bechira has no koyach. What's this chiddush of the Or HaChaim that a Baal Bechira has koyach? A Baal Bechira has no koyach. So I said, no, a Baal Bechira has the same koyach to bring about a kitruk asotin like a sakona.
I know, but you said some line about something rather with the scorpions than the brothers. You said some line. What was that line?
The scorpions are not.
What did you get? What did you say? What was the line that you
should know what I said?
You said did you say something? Why he'd rather be with the scorpions than with the brothers? Did you say that?
Because the brothers are about Bechira.
But you asked that, right? Yeah, so what did he rather?
What?
Why did he rather? I'm saying, but why was?
Because a Baal Bechira can invoke a new Din Torah.
Scorpions can't.
No, unless he went in on his own. You're right. Yeah. If he went in on his own.
Yeah.
No, the scorpion be'etzem doesn't evoke a new Din Torah. Because the scorpion, it's a different type of mokum.
I shouldn't choose to jump into scorpions?
Yeah, I would say that's the same thing. You're right. So that would be the same as Kosher Ra'uah. But if someone threw you in, so it doesn't have this, I chose to go in a Mokum Sakona. So what does it have, though? It is a Sakona. Yeah, but here the Sakona is, you're relying on a Kodesh Baruch Hu, what he judged on Yom Kippur. There's no Kitrug. But about Bechira creates a Kitrug. These people, these brothers, imagine the brothers. They paskin, he's a Roidev. They not only that, I don't know why the Orchaim doesn't say this. They included HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the minyan. They had only nine, and they included HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Bezdin. So now they said, listen, the Baal Bechira, they come, but they created a matzav here. So Mamela, therefore, Reuven would rather that he go in there. He threw him in. It wasn't Yosef's own decision to go there. And they are going to do what they're supposed to do. And that's not going into a Mokum Sakona. And that's not subject to the whims of the Baal Bechira. And therefore, it's safer with the problem.